Theo Akiri from the State Road Advisor's office.
Hi, I'm Johan de Klerk, Economic Cluster Researcher in Parliament.
Good afternoon, my name is Calvin Akshay. I'm from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group. Just observer.
Circulated all the submissions that were presented at the hearing of the Standing Committee in the National Assembly to what I'm going to do. But we could do make the process clearer. But also in terms of procedures in the National Council of Provinces, Section 75 goes after the relevant select committee has received the meeting on the bill and the public participation and deliberation are concluded the select committee will submit the bill and the first and that will be part of the first. We also consulted with Mr. Jenkins and I consulted with Mr. this group. analyze the results of the policy of August. I see the deputy special, the deputy minister, and the local board. So I would like to share that information with the members. Then there are two members there on the left. One is from where the sun rises, and the other one from where the sun sets. He said, just put on your mic and then you have mic. So that introduction to the bank treasury
Limited rights, and the fault can
actually limit their rights of shareholders. And then if you look at a company, a holding company, and the shareholders' rights are virtually unlimited. What is therefore important to call the central bank to actually perform the public function. It's very important that on the board, if you have shareholders that are there to play a role in this, they must be on why this is a representation on the board. It cannot only be a few people that actually have a place in the institution. So the wider the representation, the better on the board of the central bank if you have shareholders like you do. The reason why one does not want to have blocks of shareholders where people have blocks of interest is that you now have a public institution then that may actually then be utilized by shareholders for their own goals. So therefore it is very important that one does not have share blocks and blocks where people can exercise privilege. Furthermore, you receive, and this is the norm to out the world where central banks still have shareholders is that they just reserve on shareholders. They do not share the profit because that is in accordance with how it is to confirm the fact that they do not share in the profit of the industry. As I said before, shareholding in a central bank does not equate to ownership. In an ordinary company, you find that it has to be persuaded. So what is a private company or what is a commercial company? What are the best interests of the company? The best interests are those of the shareholders. It's not the same in the case of the company. What is also unique about our central bank, and this has got everything to do with control, is that it restricts the rights of persons not ordinarily living in South Africa from voting. It has nothing to do with nationality. And if you do not live in South Africa ordinarily, you may be a South African citizen, you may be a German citizen, you may be a Swedish citizen, you may be any other citizen. If you do not live in South Africa, you are not allowed to vote. Also, if you're a South African, and you're a South African citizen, you live on the street, you're not entitled to vote. If you're a German, you live in South Africa, you are entitled to vote. There's nothing to do with nationality. Because it is so important to exercise control over shareholders in the central bank, it is also not, the Act doesn't allow shareholders to hold persons, to hold shares in the name of nominees. Remember, in the case of nominees, you have somebody holding the chair, and someone holding on the first of the off, but from somebody behind the scenes. So that is not allowed in terms of the constitutionality and independence entrenched in the Constitution, in Section 32 of the Constitution, and that must be read with the South African Reserve Bank Act, because I must always remember that in the case of the Constitution, it follows the South African Reserve Bank. So if it's first the Reserve Bank, then the Constitution, and the Constitution determines that the central bank must be run in terms of the Act. And this is the Act that is important. Central banks, contrary to popular belief, are not totally independent. It's not an institution that runs on its own outside of its control. It's in independence with the government. Because government actually establishes it, and government exercises control over it to the extent that they allow it. The Constitution actually states that the central bank must actually fulfill its functions without fear, trade, or prejudice. That's just confirming that it's an institution that when it actually does it fulfills its main function, it is not responsible functions in accordance with the policies laid down by government, and it can decide what instruments it's going to do. There must also be a regular consultation with the Minister of Finance, which also then determines the role that government.
governed by the company. So the company that is not visible is also not subject to the CSPA, but it's general system. It's therefore a creature of statute that set out in the Durban Act, making section 263-265. The features of the central bank, and here I would just like to refer to a report that was actually compiled by the IMF that surveyed about 101 central banks throughout the world to more or less sort of see what is actually developing in the world. So 9 out of 101 central banks surveyed were joint stock companies. So really, joint stock companies are really unique in the sense that when you look to there, only 9 out of 101. Central banks are private shareholders, Austria, Belgium, Greece, Italy, Japan, Pakistan, Switzerland, United States, and the other states. Maybe the figure should change a little bit because you must remember that in the case of the United States, they have a certain of the states that have central banks, so you might have that. In general, not 9 or 9 out of 11 central banks. But it's also something that follows in all these states where they are private shareholders. Strict limits on profit allocation to private shareholders. So it actually just affirms this phenomenon that shareholders do not pay the corporate government. And also the non-profit publishing promotion. Because of central banks being like this, and as I explained before, there's been a realignment of the rights of private shareholders of central banks, and public interest dictates that they may not owe or exercise control of the company. As I said before, if you have shareholders on the board of the central bank, the more representative they are, the better function they can support in the support of the function and the policy. So therefore, if they have a wide representation of the general public, the shareholders of the central bank will be able to shareholders as we have. The reason why we have shareholders then, you may ask why do we have shareholders, as it was well stated by the Central Bank of Switzerland, one of the banks that I'm quite sure, is there to safeguard the defense of the country. So they may be regarded as the custodians of the Central Bank to defend the country. We are safeguarded. If I can briefly refer you to the current control and structure of the Central Bank. Remember that the structure is provided by the South African Reserve Bank Act and not by the Central Bank, but it has a board. We also have shareholders, and I pointed out that there's a restriction on how these shareholders can actually act. There you have it. Each individual shareholder is only allowed to a maximum of 10,000 shares because you are entitled to one vote for every 200 shares held. There is 50 votes in the person they have. If you have a maximum number of shares, you only have 50 votes. You don't have any votes if you're not the only resident in the country. You get a fixed reserve of 10% of the shareholders. You may, there is an AGM, annual meeting of shareholders held once a year, and it is set out in the regulations on the act what you're allowed to do at the annual meeting. Shareholders in the central bank, unlike shareholders in the central bank, cannot change the business that the central bank does, like changing the legal market. If you don't have the shareholders are part of the structure that points to the on the other side, we have the president, who after consultation with the Minister of Finance and the board, to appoint
the executive that exists, who constitutes, or sorry, the governance, what the executive office constitutes is. Apart from this, government also appoints three independent directors. Shareholder, as it currently is, appoints four directors, and these persons must have knowledge of commerce and finance, one director of agriculture, and two directors from the community. This is why it decides to spread the knowledge of the company and shareholder appointed directors of the agency. Just to show that government has a role to play, Minister of Finance may at any time, at any meeting, designate a director to the board meeting, designate any other person to act in the stead of the governor, which is usually the chairperson of the board. The tenure of the governor and the deputy governor is 15 years, and they have actions and they are the executive. Full time of the service must be given to managing the institution. But it's also at this moment very important because the act means that the board is responsible for the management of the institution. Therefore, the powers that the government and the deputy government have to manage the institution are delegated to us. And the tenure for the shareholder appointed directors is here. And they are regarded as the managers. So we can actually say that the three persons that are appointed by the minister, by the president, after consultation with the minister of finance of the board, those might also be regarded as managers and independent of the program as the representative of the minister of finance and of the shareholder. What is the problem? We have the board, we have the
system,
we have the system, I don't know, board now, because what we find is the shareholders. What have we found?
What do you know?
Shareholders go down, and they apply shareholders. What we've also found is that shareholders, remember that seven of the shareholders are appointed by seven of the directors are appointed by shareholders, we found that persons that want to be appointed as directors to the board offer payment for both, the people who vote to be appointed. There's also a manipulation that we found of beneficial ownership. And what I mean by that is that persons buy shares in the names of other persons, but they are only nominees, and the true beneficial shareholder are actually the person that buys the shares. And what we also found is that despite having informed shareholders time and time again, what we've done is that we've gone out of our way in the past to show to them that they believe that this is a public institution, it's not for profit for your own good, you cannot make profit out of it, which is a training teacher. They have tried time and again to actually get something forward so that they can share in the profit. Example, 2003, at the board, at the AGM, they actually tried to pass a resolution to share in 10% of the profit of the business instead of a fixed return of 10%. And that was despite the fact that the board at the meeting that we've taken a resolution, we should not do that. And this resolution was passed, but it was also worth it on the strength of this, the director was appointed to the board of on the thing that we were going to see that they were going to defend the thing of the prophet of the institution that went to the The other thing that we find that the shareholders think that they are the owners of the institution. And therefore they say, because we are the owners of the institution, we are also the owners of the foreign assets that this institution has. So therefore what we want you to do is we want you to write we want you to share in all the assets of the country. Therefore, we say that the value of our shares that we bought from 12 rand to 13 rand is worth 6,400 because we say the international system is worked out, this is the net value of the institution. So what we found is on the strength of this, there was a huge speculative process going on in the shares. And the shares traded in the market between 1 rand, remember the nominal value is 1 rand. They traded between 1 rand up to 6,400 rand per share. They were offered to trade between 1 rand. And then another thing is that we find that shareholders, in terms of the regulations and the rights that have been set out, try to arrange and demand if for any general reason to arrange things and put resolution with regard to business that are not in practice. That we will keep up. Then, another thing that we found was that there were constantly, there were rumors passing to the market that, for example, that the South African Reserve Bank share register and we said, doesn't matter. We've issued more shares than we issued more shares than it's actually reflected in the share register. This we've done, we've audited externally, internally, we've given them the result of this, but it's not accepted because there seems to be some way of propagating something like that. Then there's also unsubstantiated allegations of fraud, corruption, bank bailouts. That supposedly has been done in secret, and the only thing that I can say about this is to just create a market where everybody can create suspicion against the money of the institution. And then, these type of allegations that we have interfere with the business of the institution, so that I can say it's very difficult for the institution to be united in the borders of the business, which is the same place to be to give you an example of the shareholding in the back of provided from the slide show. Private institutions that we see there, that would be just normal ordinary person, normal members of the public. Banks, obviously, and other would be legal persons, other than banks. So there's the split. Then, if you look at this, because this is the problem that we experienced, was that we were experiencing quite a number of certain types of young vendors that were buying shares on this premise that they were going to make these profits. If you look there, then you see that it's fairly 16.7% of young vendors killed. If you then go one slide shot further, there we have a family. Associates that are actually making it the business, to buy out as many shares of the institution as possible. And there you see the percentage of this person together with certain, we have the associates in the business, 10%. And if you have 10% of the shares in a formal commercial company, you can just try and close the company to some extent because you can pass the resolution. So although it's still small, it is quite a big amount of the whole to the single national company association. But the percentage even looks worse if you compare it with the percentage of held by the person and the associate and the percentage of the total number of shares. So you find it even more than all the other external theories of politics. Now, again, we expect that this comes back, something that has taken part, as an aside, where we have been certified as to buy as many shares as possible to the society. Okay? So, what we did is we went back and we got a legal team together with Treasury, ourselves, we discussed those issues, we went through the institution, acts and the regulations, we looked at the Constitution, and we decided what are we now going to do, because we actually have against the issue. So we decided that we should actually draft an amendment to that, and that the objective of this act was to be the least to actually stop shareholders of the back of the business and buy more shares in the share price of the innovation. Also, we thought that because you now run as the legal company, you run the risk that persons that are not fit and proper may actually be a source of problem. And you may run the risk for a person that offers the same person to vote for you or her, may be appointed onto the board. And this person that has been appointed on the board will then openly declare, what I will do, I will see that you share in the profit. So this is the problem. We said what we must now do is that we get a broader base of people in South Africa to represent South Africa and play a role on the running of the institution. Therefore, provide some mechanism whereby we can actually achieve this. And that is by establishing a panel to sort of look at the, not sort of, but look at the potential candidates and test this and look at them and see if they are successful. Also to define clear criteria when persons are disqualified from serving on the board. Now here I'm going to add, I'm not saying that the Act currently does not have the clear, that there is a spread between the Act and the regulation. So therefore it was better for us to report, we must make it quite clear that we can have this qualification that is in the Act, and this is the clear criteria in terms of the appointment of the board. And then as I said, the panel will then confirm board nominees against different parties of the clarify the powers and functions of the board, which will solve the importance of development in somebody more who carries the security of government. And if you need powers to manage the institution, it must be in the hands of persons that are suited to do it, and are qualified to do it, so the powers of management that we can get from the government and the government. And then there is another question that we have the possibility that we provide for the governor and deputy governor on reappointment to serve a term of less than 5 years. Because at the moment, if it doesn't provide flexibility, the deputy governor is appointed and the deputy governor becomes into the time of 2 years. It's not been able to be short term, there's a lot of legal engineering that has to take place, and I'm not really sure that one. What we needed to do in Clause 1 is we needed whereby we can actually control this buying of shares in the first place. So what we then did is we went and let us introduce a mechanism whereby we link shareholders, where they share authority, where they share control, and where they share influence. Where such links exist between them, then there must be some mechanism where you can deem this an associate and exercise control when they exceed certain targets. That is what the system is going to do. If you deal with that system, there is a lot of work on your system. Then, in the past, as the act is now, you have shareholder representatives on the board of the bank. It creates a long question. Because when you appoint a director onto the board as a shareholder representative, that person will think that now I represent shareholders, that I will therefore, when I exercise any control, so any management or anything on this board, I'll do it for the sake of the shareholders. That shouldn't be so. It should be as a general board to the general public. So we change this, and the whole terminology, shareholders representative, has been deleted. So we've now changed this with the definition of an elected director. That's the difference. If you're an elected director, you're appointed by shareholders, but you own your allegiance to the board and the general public and the main role that the institution has. Okay, then government and government employees, is defined here, the reason why this is, because a government and an employee of government wouldn't be allowed to be elected to the board, because government already has an election. To the point 7 at the moment, as it is here, we don't want to actually do that as well. So this is more than the government, that is why it's important. Then, obviously, in the case of the panel, we needed to get a body of persons together to actually provide the input of in the panel, and NEDLAC was actually identified as the body that could actually nominate three persons to the panel to exercise the sharing of the market. And then the concept of the panel was introduced as a proof of the process is that the panel would then consider nominees in terms of. Okay, clause 2 and then section 4 with regard to the board of directors. Instead of saying that the bank shall be managed by the board of 13, the act is now changed. It now says the bank has a board, and the board is decided the board has been increased to 13. The reason why it now says that the bank has a board is because in the act, we've changed in the role. We've now written down statements and clarified the powers of the board as opposed to the powers of the head of the board. The reason why the board's time is actually increased is because we felt that we want a unified board, and if the governor always has a need of her casting vote with uniformity on the board, it's like using a person for the governor. Therefore, rather increase the board size in favor of governor. As in the past, the governor and deputy governor will be appointed by the president after consultation with the minister and the board. The change is now that the president will now appoint, instead of two, will appoint four directors. And this will be after consultation with the minister only. The part, as it is now, is that the president appoints three, and he will be consultation with the board and with the minister. So the board is out of control, the reason being that the board on its shareholders have the undirected the seven directors elected by the chairman must now be approved by the panel before they are elected. So the board is a very good. what is the board different? It might be clear that the amendment, but this board is not a management board, it is a supervisory board. This follows the principle as applied to us, the corporate role, and with regard to central banks that have shares, usually supervised people. And the president also consulted with the Minister of Finance, and now, of course, four independent directors. These four independent directors, who will not consult this board. But the president will put in the case of the executive, that is the governor, and the key deputy governor, for shareholders, there's now a layer in between. The shareholders may still nominate directors, and those directors will be subject to scrutiny by a panel. Once the panel has actually confirmed these people as suitable, they will call for election. Then shareholders. And here we've also got a challenge. Because to make the spread wider and the knowledge and experience of directors appointed by shareholders, we now have two directors from Thomas Kahn, we have two before. One director from agriculture, which is the same. Two directors from industry. One director from labor, that's introduced. And one director from mining. Two new fields that have been introduced onto the board. Then, the initial tenure of the governor has now been checked. It now seems that on renewal. So the first time that the governor, deputy governor, is actually appointed, that would be for a period of 5 years. And then for a second period, it may be different. And so, the governor and deputy governor need to actually exercise control of the institution as the executive. But they now don't have delegates, they have additional power. Because it is actually an outside thing that you may have the power that they actually have. But they still may delegate these powers that they have. The tenure remains the same in the case of directors appointed by shareholders, and the Minister of Finance may still at any stage designate the person to actually in the state of the government. So the nature of the board, if we use the changes as exhibits to the board, is now that governance of the institution will now be the role of the board, not the name. There's now a distinction between the governance and the day-to-day running of the government, rather than the role of the institution. This is not unique. I think it's a good we say that this is done in company law, and it's also, if you look at the report by the IMF, it's also done in the case of further simple banks in the law. The board intentions are prevailing practice and creates original powers. As the board sees as the act now, it is exactly what happens, but it doesn't happen in terms of delegates. Knowledge and responsibility of the generation of the individual from the group is now done. Then we have committees, Netcom Rental, exactly to the same. We have representatives in Houston, and a terms of reference for them to be determined by the board. The example that we have is that the Rentos, together with our HR department, developed a strategy, but it's our strategy is a generation, and then actually says, how does this panel actually operate? Now, as I said previously, we have two forms of fire standards, two industrial issues, one agriculture, one labor, and one mining. In the past, only shareholders and serving directors, just this part, is actually nominated. Now we have a general public. The general public may now also go and nominate directors to serve on the board of the central bank. It's possible for a wider sort of representation of Once the nomination has been made, it will go to the panel. The panel consists of five people, four and three persons on the panel. The chair is the governor, who has a fast, exhausting, and deliberating vote. It will consist of a retired judge, plus another person, both nominated by the minister, the two persons nominated by the minister. Once they've looked at the candidates, they will confirm a list of candidates that will be sent out to Michelle for appointment. They will be eligible, they will be allowed to vote and have to consider a maximum of three governors with the candidates for each position to make it clear. This list then goes to Sheldon, and they then vote at the AGM, depending on the vacancy, which a maximum of six. They will then vote for them from this list provided by the panel. Considerations of the panel then broadens the pool from where the director comes to the nomination of the record of government studies, the Republic. The panel must ensure that these persons nominated are fit and proper and knowledgeable to be appointed. The federal system is not unique. It is a system that is used by, for example, the Central Bank of Belgium and similar, not exactly the same, but they have similar services we have. And the Bank of Taiwan also has a follow-up The panel seems to our mind enhances the independence of the government because they are compromised. And the reason why NEDLAC has actually been selected is because NEDLAC is a statutory body that represents organized business, labor, community, and also people of the panel members will come from business, labor, and the community, not from the people of the government. Parliament still retains the oversight role for government council. We still have to report that the Parliament at least once a year, the government needs to appear, the government needs to explain our financial statements, and our board members, and the report of the regulation of funding that the country is part of the country. In the year, that's in the day. What does your CC do? It codifies the fit and proper criteria for directors. We have directors. We all know that directors are subject to fiduciary duty. We also know that they are subject to fiduciary duty. The question is always asked, who do they own fiduciary duty to? And who do they own the fiduciary duty to? In ordinary company business, it is quite clear that it's owed to the institution. What this act now does is follow the order of the doorway, it follows this. The fiduciary duty is a duty to act bona fide in the interest of a good institution and to avoid conflict of interest on the one side, and the duty of fair and skill is to prevent and maintain reasonable knowledge and skill as well as to exercise strength. And this can be judged as a principle of the criteria system. And that owes the corruption of the law. It's not owed by. As to sometimes perceived at the moment by shareholders elected by directors, elected by shareholders to them. It also makes quite clear and codifies the disqualification of directors. It uses what is in the act at the moment, but it also has also got some additions to it. And then it also provides for automatic termination of the appointment of the director. Obviously, if you become disqualified as a director of the bank at any stage, then you will be automatically terminated your appointment as a director. Okay, I follow CG and call then call 3. That is the one that I refer to. Before and introduce a new section. This clause codifies the contents and the powers of the board. Previously, it was nothing. The act now, as it is now, dictates the board is responsible for the management of the board. Now, it codifies what the board is actually responsible for. In the past, as I explained, the board has been delegated to the government. The board also provides for undelegated. This change is now because now the governors, regional governors, being the executive of the bank, are vested with the regional power of the bank. So the section clearly delineates the powers and functions of the holdings of the bank. The name of the because an organ of an institution that will do the person will actually act on behalf of the institution and by the bank. It's not mostly possible for any shareholder to actually try and secure the powers of the of the management of the bank. Right? And then clause 4 is the one that amends the tenure and position of office of directors. It is not yet, the only change here, as I explained previously, is that the term of 5 years may now be shorter than the second appointment of the governor and deputy governor. In the current act, the term of the governor and deputy governor is coupled with the director appointed by the president. The new bill says here that we do in this section the governor and this one we deal with directly appointed by the president. Apart from the rearrangement of the section, there is nothing really special. And because we rearranged this in the manner, we have, it's not necessary to have the section 1A anymore because of the purpose and section 1B in the act that is currently provided provisional arrangement about the terms of directors when the old act came into operation. That is the wind part, and all those terms have expired, so it's not necessary to have this important purpose that has also been achieved. Then, it's made very clear here, now this is something new, that you will not be able to be appointed as a director. You will not be able to be re-elected as a director. Even if you serve in today, you are appointed by a shareholder. You should not be confirmed as a director. To make sure that that also applies to persons that have been serving the court. Casual vacancies, no real change. All the cities again took away the governor from the separated then from the person appointed by the president. And it also provides for a government representative directly into the general vacancy. I don't think this is not really just changes the vacancy. And there you see in C, the Lennon makes provision for an elected director instead of a shareholder representative for the reason that I alluded to earlier on. That is that you are effective and you owe your legal to the customer. Once a governor or deputy, somebody is appointed into the position of a vacant position of a governor or a deputy governor, this does not appear that it may not be for a certain longer than a governor or deputy governor would have served. Then the delegation of powers, again, this change here, brought about by the change in from delegated powers to the regional powers. And this makes the reason for these regional powers that the governor and deputy governor now have to be undelegated to other officials in the bank. I'm not going to be really something that is provides for regional powers to be undelegated by the governor to persons inside the institution. The action provides for the delegation of these powers from the board to the governor and on them. Then, importantly, the concept of an associate has now been introduced as in 1761. This does not allow, so when you start looking at the prohibition of common powers, it cannot limit. you calculate the 10,000 shares that are held, and you take into consideration the associates of the shares. So in other words, you will now determine 10,000 shares held, looking at the person holding the shares, and adding up all the shareholders of the person's associates. It's based on a similar provision in the Bank Act that's been there in a similar inscription of the Bank Act. That works very well. In terms of the Bank Act, you are not allowed to hold more than numbers of shares, 15%, 35%, 50%, and calculating those shareholders, we also use it in those shares. So it's not a new concept, it's a concept that has been used with success in the bank. So shareholders who hold more than 10,000 shares, at the same time, it's a bill of cost. They will be given a choice. You may declare that. If you declare it, that's fine. Keep on holding them because then you can exercise control over you. You're not able to exercise more than 50 votes. All what you can do is, if you don't want to declare them, sell them. That's your choice. If you don't want to actually interfere with existing rights. So the circumvention of voting rights is fixed in South Virginia. You cannot vote more than 50. Not just count the number of shares. 50. Not just count the number of shares. Right, section 22 in 4.7, that is fixed with an how shareholders together with legal or associates may hold in aggregate more than 10,000 shares. Now, if a person decides, I'm not going to disclose, I'm just going to keep quiet and I'm going to keep the shares, then what we can do is we can go to a court and we can take a court, assist us, provide us with relief, issue an order, make an order that this person will salvage you for whatever the person needs. That's what we are providing for. The shareholder who discloses the share, as I said, might continue to hold it. But there are limitations. And that would mean that if you disclose, you're not obviously not starting to buy more. You'll be limited to what you disclose. If that limit goes less than say 20,000 shares, but still more than 10,000, obviously you will not be able to buy up to what you have before. So you will then gradually limit the full price to the 10,000 shares for that particular year. Rule 8 amends the vote. This is where we have to vote. So if you hold the shares, you hold 10,000, you hold 100,000, and these persons that you're holding together with cannot exercise their assets. So there's one vote for each 20 shares held to a maximum of 10,000, which is 50,000. That's how the attributes of the one. They should not be able to exercise any more votes, so one set of shares. Then you give them out to one of the groups of
thank you for the thorough presentation. We did that homework very well. Make it a bit easier for us. Any additions to the presentation? Other members ask questions? The bank has been indicated to break
Thank you. Against other central banks, you will find
that this is done in mostly in all emerging countries. This is done, and it is totally sufficient. And what I mean by this is, you have a goal that is set by something. We have a goal that is set by the Act. It says we must maintain the value of the currency. That's the goal set. Who determines how we maintain the value of the currency is government. Government says, how do we maintain the value of the currency? We do this by following inflation targeting process. This is the process that is followed. If you go and read, you find that most of the countries recently and throughout the recent times, that is the way, the method in which you determine that. What government also does, government says, fine, inflation, we follow inflation targeting, and we set the limit. So in other words, between 3% and 6%, that is what we set down. This is how you must see that you maintain the value of the currency by following inflation targeting and limiting it between these two parameters. But what we allow you to do, we allow you to determine what instrument you are going to use. And you may use it as you like. So the instrument that the central bank has been using was the fact that it set interest rates. So government doesn't say to the central bank, you must set interest rates at 3%, 4%, 10%, whatever. So that is what we mean by instrument in the data. And if you read what has been written about central banks article, you find this is, it's really acceptable that you have only that independence. That is absolutely enough. Because you must remember one thing, that the central bank was not elected by the electorate outside. So therefore, you must have the persons that elect the person to decide what the goal is, how it's going to be achieved, but leave it to the institution to decide how it's going to be. That is the answer we're asking you to that. That's the instrument in the data. That I would say. Thank you.
Thank you. I think you're not going to have talking about the field, most of the questions I've asked you, I'm going to be full of some of the field here. With the first question, you haven't dealt with the question of the dependence, and each one is independent of the second goal, and how you go about it. On the question of profit, right, speaking of the profit goes to government. The other 10% is retained by the bank, for example, and also to pay shareholders for the government. When reference is made to shareholders spending 10% on their shares, don't consider that the 10% is profit. 10% on the nominal value of one rand share is the other 10% is retained by the bank, it's got its own cost of only 10%. So that's how the 19% is split. And then the difference in the bank for shareholders actually obtained in respect to the return on their share, which I'll touch on a little bit later why, for instance. Demonstrated, and perhaps I'll touch on a later question together with this because it's a basic one. The board has been increased from 14 to 21. Currently, we have a board made up of 7 members, a PR elected president, a central by the president, and 7 members who are elected by shareholders. The governor, however, has a compromise in the current system. It just goes back to the point that you have made over and over again, that government taxes the government. We're not going to get away from that. Shareholders may choose to try to put a different slant on it, but they own it, it's not the government has created this institution and owns this institution. All that has been created by increasing the board from 14 members to 15 members of the administrative board. The reason for the odd number is you do not want a position where there is an quality of votes and also that the unity board will have to cost the vote to break together. But we mustn't make much of it because she could in any event. She could do that and exercise the government power that everybody believes or the shareholders want to believe that government can vote. But it's more illusory than real, but it does deal with an issue which has arisen. And
and the status it has at the point.
On the panel, the question was hijack, why is hijack? A mechanism was looked at to try and constitute a panel-rich world that represented an objective process. We have in NEDLAC as a statutory body who represents the interests of labor, business, if appointing two members is there, the minister will be appointing somebody else, the government will appoint that panel who is aware of the needs of the bank, and what the requirements of Christian Popper are, it's a term that it will give the panel the correct balance. There are probably legal remember that when it comes to a point, it's brought to raise for one of our other members, who oversees the panel? Does the panel act in terms of the act or not? Does the board oversee the panel? The question is that, your answer to that is that no, the board doesn't oversee the panel. The panel is a separate creature created by statute. Its terms of reference are set out. It will be constituted. It has a specific role and function to play. And that function is to vet candidates and ensure that the candidates who are put forward are fit and proper, comply with the act, but also that you process the choice. This panel is not going to be able to act on its own. In the sense that it has to be properly, there are regulations which will say that when you determine who is preferred to shareholders, you need to have reasons as to why certain people have been defaulted on. Why others may have been selected, or that couldn't work for supporting the candidate, that would be more people. So it's a self that it gives the panel the correct balance to have a retired judge amongst the people to ensure that that function actually adhere to administrative justice, like the promotion of administrative justice act, that country doesn't exist. Our whole point was touched on about why have we shareholders? What is the need for the shareholders? We say we have shareholders, but we take them out of the shareholders. The whole point about having shareholders, and there's only 9 central banks below this, but you take them away from it, because each might be different than that if you want. They would have their own shareholders as well. The reason for shareholders is always need to be political. It is one of the reasons to show that if the community participates in an institution such as a central bank, buying a share, even if it's a nominal shareholder, they feel part of the system, they're able to express their views and participate in the system and therefore have faith in it. So it's not a goal, which if you want to have shareholders in the institution, you need to say, but at the same time, those shareholders have to understand what they're doing. The limitation of the company is that they allow a block of shareholders or a group of shareholders to put forward their peculiar requirements and expect that the bank will follow that. So if you buy into the principle that you have, that you want shareholders, well, they must be there for the right reason. They must be there to hold the institution accountable when it needs to be held accountable. And that is not to allege that there's no corporate governance or that there's some kind of corporate governance in fact. But this is uncomfortable. They need to raise the real issues at an annual resolution which can be raised. But it's been abused in the past. When I say it's been abused, look at the deltas and the answers which have been provided by the bank. They come to AGMs with an agenda. An agenda is to increase the dividend to share in a profit, or to get certain persons appointed to the board who will support a certain limited shareholding agenda. Now, with regard to shareholding, we must remember that these individuals who are shareholders, and every shareholder, they do not get the natural return from the shareholding of that, but it's to get a nominee. So, in most sense-bound, a competitive shareholding grouping, they don't attend AGM. The real risk that you run is 80% of the shares controlled. The 7 members that were responsible by shareholders. They can control it because if they have only 10% to pick up at an AGM because they frankly couldn't care. And had any share because it was passed down to them from their father. This was a nice example. 10% can control and we found something very close to appointing directors. The point that the then made was followed on from that is, well, directors, and Johan will deal with what powers the board has, but directors don't really exercise that much power in the institution management, yes, to the government. The fact
however, is if you have an unstable bank in this institution, if you have directors who have an agenda, even if they are in the minority, they can ensure that the board meetings do not operate optimally. They can raise issues. They are privy to sensitive information. But I will touch more on the question of what is this board, what powers does this board have. Because I think that's an issue that needs to be addressed, and we believe we can and we have addressed it. The fact is that although governance is exercised by the board, they still have access to information which is and which has to be dealt with in the board. So that is why it's so that to allow the current system, and I'm not talking here about one of the powers of the government, but to allow the current system where a small group of shareholders can nominate a specific person and elect that person can stabilize the institution. On the question of the number of directors, which by the point of the number two, governors and governors who get the government support, is now 4.5 by president, 8 and 7 by shareholders. The numbers of on the question of second top ranked person to appoint by the president, is the single director must be the access every director needs to be the president's appointees are not there, the person on the board is not first proper, and if they want to qualify, and they provide the only distinction here is that the president's appointees do not go to the election. They have to be certain proper, but it's felt that that's the mechanism the president must ensure that he's directed at the proper. It's different to shareholders. They have an interest in this institution and an agenda which has been demonstrated clearly. So we need to put a mechanism and a system in place to ensure that what has previously been a problem is not a problem going forward. So the panel will then turn to vet and ensure that the candidates are supported as they possibly can after the vote. If the president does not appoint such a proper people, well, he will be accountable for that because he will be contravening the legislation of the people. The legislation of the president, you can appoint X amount of people, but it's a criteria in the legislation that says what direction is forward. And we felt that that mechanism is necessary. On the question of will people talk to the fact that we're failing, the panel, however, is the view that you try as best as you possibly can to exclude that. What is it certainly will do is exclude the current system where a shareholder nominate himself normally or someone who is nominated, and if he has sufficient support to ensure that that person gets elected. That cannot be done. They're going to have to go to the panel first. Now, the panel believes that that person is a possible reason to exclude that person. The Act has now built in a specific requirement of fiduciary duty to owe to the bank. There's no doubt. We always believe that is the case, but it's a question to know it's there now. We have a duty of care to the bank. If you don't comply with that rule, you're not complying with it.
The limit from the recent set of judicial question, and I
it is something in corporate governance, you know, that actually is something that is taking the role of the development of the country. But what is definitely sure, what is being developed throughout the corporate world at the moment, there's a realization in the event that the board cannot manage the institution. Because the board is a thing, it's a mechanism that fits there. It hasn't got the knowledge to manage an institution's day-to-day operation. So boards are definitely developed. There's a lot of literature that you find in this that boards are developed and they develop this governance principle. They exercise governance. They do not, and the courts also enforce it. They do not allow boards to become involved in the day-to-day management of institutions, because obviously the boards are not geared for that, and the persons that serve on the board are not persons that necessarily have the qualities to do the day-to-day management. So therefore there's a clear delineation of powers between the board and the executive. And this is what we've done in terms of what is called the act of giving the senior. But what he does, as I explained earlier, he tried to explain is that he doesn't change the practice, because in the past, this is how it happened. The only thing is that the act as it stands here today does not reflect the practice. Because now you have the act that says the board manages the institution, but it doesn't. Because it delegates all its powers of management in terms of the delegation to the management of the institution in the government. And therefore, what we did in this bill is we just went and we stated what the situation actually is. So the powers that you see listed under the new 4A are also those powers that they have to reserve for themselves. If you go back to our delegation of powers, you will find that those powers also appear in this, because those are the powers that they actually held back for themselves when they delegated all the powers of the board. And then what is important is section, it also includes in the section 4A, it says the board will also be able to exercise those powers that are set out to be in the Act. So those, by taking section 4A, we do not take away any of the powers that they previously had, so they are still able to exercise all the powers that the Act actually also vests in them. Section 10 is not really a section, because in South African Reserve Bank is the future of the statute, you cannot do anything unless the Act provides powers for the institution to do it. Therefore, section 10 stops what the institution is allowed to do. It does not. When it refers to the board, that's a little bit different. But in general, what section 10 does is it just states, this is what the institution may do. Whoever is going to do it, and if it's the board or if it's the management, it doesn't say. It just empowers the institution to do whatever it's supposed to do. Section 4 goes further. It now says, okay, if you want to do these type of things, look towards the board or look towards the management of it. So our idea was just this, that we want to make it very clear what the powers are of the two institutions for the two bodies, as opposed to the two.
The intention of the bank to implement these actions in perspective is not to provide the accumulated shares
today already affiliated, but when you declare it, they want you to come back.
If I can start with a question, maybe the next question might run up around it, but let me put it in this way. This thought that is part, if you will see me, this propaganda that is actually part, you know, that an institution like a central bank, the foreign assets that is actually run, that belongs to the people of the country, the fact that it belongs to shareholders is a fallacy. It is something which is actually propagated in the market to get these shares with increasing value. Because there is no way that you can argue today that you can buy a share for a rand, nominal value, and immediately acquire a value of 6,200. It just doesn't have any sense to it. And if you want to look at an example, you find that the Central Bank of Belgium also had a problem where shareholders wanted to also share, in the assets of an institution by buying shares. And it just didn't try, the courts were against that. The question is, do you know it when you buy your share? Obviously you know it, because when you buy your share, it's quite clearly in the asset. You are going to get a fixed return. And then what you will also find in the Act, so in some guidelines, it says in the Act, if this institution is at any stage liquidated, then it can only be done by means of an asset. If it's done by means of the tax, then the assets of the institution must actually be divided between the shareholders and the government. 46. And the shareholders have actually lost the tax onto this and actually made a huge thing about it, because that shows that they were entitled to the assets of the institution, because they didn't reach first. It says that if your 40%, if you calculate it at the end, relates to a value more than what your share's average was for a period of time, you get the letter of the deal. But they don't read that because they don't appreciate it. So therefore I'm saying that if you read that, it's quite clear to the buyer that you are going to get, it's not really even a share, you are getting the debt instrument that is going to give you of if you don't want it and you want to earn return, go and buy somewhere else. Don't buy something and change it into something that suits your needs. If it's already in the Act, they know it when they buy it. This, to my mind, really is just trying to make a case to do something about gaining some return. If I can then turn to registered civics, no. This bill doesn't go back in the past. It actually recognizes the rights of persons that have a friendship. They have all they need to do, it's trying to produce it. If you want to retain the share, if you want to go on in future, just advise us that you've got the share. Because then we can exercise control over the share. We can say to you, fine, let's say, family of a person, this is wife or spouse, whatever, have 20,000 shares. All we are going to say to this person, disclose it, you can hold the 20,000. If you are not going to be allowed to increase, so neither you nor your wife will be able to buy any more shares. That is, it's not in the past, it's in the future. If you sell any of your shares, between yourself and your wife, and that becomes, let's say, she sells 5,000 shares, now you have 15,000 shares between yourself, you will not be allowed to chop it up again to the same. Because what we're trying to do is, in the future, we want to bring it down to the same. But your shares, your voting, all the time will be limited. So between the two of them, you will have 15 votes. In the past, they had 100. It's now reduced because of control.
Any more questions?
Okay. In terms of procedure.
reconvene a meeting for this committee on the bill for the 23rd of, for the 25th of August. Where will we need to do the consideration of our report? We will again, so the students are not pointed at us, we're not working according to instructions, ask for written, that's a written submission. We will deal with everything on the 21st and go then to the House on the 26th and the House then adopt the report. So that will be the process and then it will be complete. This committee will meet again on Tuesday the 17th and Wednesday the 18th to meet with the FFC regarding the FFC's recommendations. Thank you.